Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hi, I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of Scale Up Consulting and author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe in a community-led growth strategy or community-led growth world where buyers turn to their community of friends and peers for guidance and recommendations on buying decisions. And here to chat to me about that today is Max. Max is the VP of community at FinMyers, and prior to that, he's worked in the digital strategy world and also digital marketing. He's also founded a business, so super excited to have him on the show today and dive into this topic. Welcome, Max.
Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. And folks, as always, before we jump into it, I'd like to give you a bird's eye view as to what we're going into. Obviously, we're going to be talking about community, but in order to help describe community and community-led growth, I want you to imagine yourself doing and experiencing the following. Take your fintech business right now, and instead of placing your product and or your service at the helm, build a community and put that in front of everyone. Put that at the center of everyone. Foster this centerpiece through a specific growth strategy and, also maybe distributed leadership. After putting in all the hard work, imagine yourself witnessing the fruits of your labor, a thriving, bustling, and, an engaged community that exists at the center of your organization. Through your focused community, growth transpires organically and authentically. Why? The connections are organic and authentic, and the purpose of the community itself reaches far beyond your product and or your service. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. Products and services are important, but they can take a business only so far when it comes to growth. And it's through this intersection of quality of products and services and authentic community that real, sustainable, and meaningful expansion occurs. And, super excited to bring Max into the show. I mean, he's done some fantastic stuff at FinMyers right now. And not everyone out there, Max, has a VP of community, sort of the heartbeat of a business or that role inside of fintech. So I think let's sort of start at the top of the show. And I think for folks out there, can you sort of just run through at a high level what you do, what is your role at FinMyers, and how do you make certain that you're consistently leading that community growth strategy?
So I think the easiest way to pose that is a lot of people confuse community. I guess the old school view of community was like social media, forums, that kind of thing. Just engaging with members, which is still part of it. But real community is about members interacting with each other and creating value from that. So my role at FinMyers is how do we align all of our members and subscribers around our mission as a company and allow them to interact with each other and create genuine business value and real value for each other and product value. Mm-hmm. So my day-to-day involves anything to do with engaging our members, from, you know, deep research and insight that we feed into the rest of the business, through to how we communicate, how we position our brand. All of that runs from our members. And then obviously we have our community team that run member-organized events. We have group discussions in the app. But to kind of put that in perspective, we take a community-led approach. So our events are a really great example. And this is a good analogy so people can see the difference between marketing and community. We now run the largest finance events program on the planet. Last year we had 70,000 people attend our events. This year there'll be about 100,000. Those events are organized by our members on a volunteer basis. That has snowballed. There's an event taking place every single day of the year. And that has snowballed out of 3-4 years ago when we started with this community strategy of just, you know, one of our members hosting an event on our behalf. That is the difference between community and marketing. This isn't us broadcasting out events and us creating events. This is us empowering our members to say, look, this is our mission. How do we go about achieving this in a meaningful way? And we try and do that in as many areas of our business as possible. So that's what my job is about, is like finding ways that our members can meaningfully participate in our mission.
No, I like it. And you mentioned a lot of sort of gold nuggets there around empowering members. Okay, so what does that look like? What value does empowering a member or a community to sort of go out there and drive your mission? What value does it bring back into your business?
Oh, empowerment is my favorite topic at the moment for so many reasons. It's so special to Finimize because it's the unique thing. It's the reason that I joined Finimize, and it's the unique position that we have in the market. So if we take a step back, just to go deep on this empowerment concept, if we take a step back, I came from a wealth management background, or I was running digital at a wealth manager, and the whole financial advice industry is exactly that. It's based on advice. It's based on, I'm qualified, you're not, I'm going to tell you what to do with your money and charge a fee for that. Finimize completely reframed this, you know, way before the retail investor boom happened. And it said, no, you are the only person who is responsible for your financial freedom. If you delegate that to someone else and it goes wrong, you're not in control. You don't have a compass to go, okay, I'm going to change strategy. You're not making any learnings from that. What Finimize says is that it's about empowerment, and it's about us putting the information and tools in your hands so that you can make your own informed decisions. And if that goes right, then it's on your shoulders. If it goes wrong, it's on your shoulders. That empowerment culture is what runs through our business, is how we treat our staff. It defines who we hire. And it's also like the most important thing about the community, because they are in control of their own financial futures and they're in control of their own investments. They're all DIY investors, but they're all figuring it out together, and they're empowering each other.
Is the value then, is it allowing people to take control of their life, right? Their situations. And when you start doing that, they're going to get the know-how, right? And once you start getting the know-how, you can start making the right calls as to what you want to do. That feels like the right call. So the value that this community has, the value that you guys give in obviously, you know, giving over control to certain aspects is obviously empowerment, but ultimately, you know, people are going to start being able to control what they want to do when they want to do it, rather than getting pushed a load of stuff all the time. Yeah, we got to free this, we got to free that. So you can go to a hotel if you can, you know, if you opt into this. And in all honesty, I think people are just a bit of sort of sick and tired of that, right? And this gives them a way out and a different thing to move forward on, right?
Yeah, and I love that you're connecting what we're talking about with it being empowered with your investments to life, because that is exactly what Finimize stands for. And that is exactly what our members stand for. That's the glue that makes them sort of resonate with each other. And everyone believes, as part of our community, which is really important, like when you are building a community, it's really important that everyone has the same value. Everyone that believes that, the more people that think for themselves and take action in investing and in life, everyone believes that the world will be a better place in the Finimize community. And people can disagree with that, and that's cool, but that's what our community is about. And that's why they're so keen. Like, we're all so keen to participate and help each other out, because that's the world that we believe in. That's where we want the finance industry to go. That's the way that we want the world to go. And that's why you get this magic happen in Finimize and in community-led brands, because it goes beyond a transaction. You're no longer, you know, buying a service. You're participating in a mission.
Yeah, love it. Boom. That's a big one. And early on, at the top of the show, you mentioned community is about making those social connections, using social channels and what have you. But that's not all it's about. It's about the interaction between members. And that could be digital, could be face-to-face, I guess. It could be, you know, various events, etc. But how do you guys gone about moving the needle from that, okay, let's get a group on LinkedIn, or let's get a group on Slack, etc., and making that transition to, okay, events, face-to-face, member interaction? What have been the steps to sort of really harness that ecosystem?
I think if you get that foundation right of aligning your company's mission with the member benefit, and you put the power in the hands of your members, you then just got to go with the flow. You let that snowball and you let the members guide you. And let me give you the example. So we know that Finimize exists to empower people to become smarter investors. We know that's why people come to us. That's why they're willing to pay for a service like ours. What that means is that our members are also aligned with that. Our members are joining to become smarter. They know that by engaging in conversations with other members, they're also going to become smarter. They get more from the product. By being able to attend events and hear from experts, they get more from the product. So we're aligned on that point, because the more value we create, the more likely our subscribers are to continue to subscribe, and we've got a growing business. And they also understand the more that they participate, the more they get out of being part of the Finimize community and accelerating towards that goal of becoming a smarter investor. From that solid foundation, we can then start building out a strategic focus, because it's very easy to apply community tactics across many different areas and spread yourself too thin. So one thing that, you know, became very clear when we were working with our members, so we initially, like, we've now got a community of over 1 million subscribers to our newsletter. But when that was smaller, we were working with them and we were saying, what is the most valuable way, or like, let's talk through our experience of when you've leveled up in your investing, like what helps you on a daily basis? And what became really clear is like discussing with other people, both ahead of you in that curve and below you in that journey, is really important, because it sort of challenges your own hypotheses and your own views and your own portfolio and strategies.
I like that. So you jump in, because what you're doing here is, it's the asset test. Yes, you're going out to your members, your prospects, your customers day in, day out. You're asking the question, you know, what do you want? What are the things that are just difficult for you? What are your pain points? What are you waking up in the morning and think, I really need to know the answer to that, because that's going to give me a bit of freedom, or a bit of, it's going to make me relax. And you guys, it sounds like you guys are going down and you're answering those questions via newsletters, via updating your community, etc. But that golden nugget of they ask, you answer, it seems to be a hypothesis that you guys have been sort of playing with and iterating over.
Yeah, the way I see it is that's step one. So any brand that's looking to launch community is just be community informed. We actually take it further. So when we got that feedback and understanding that basically getting better at investing is like getting better at a language, like it's really important that you have those conversations and you throw yourself in that culture. Okay. We could have responded to that and say, okay, we're going to organize discussions and events. But because we're a community-led brand, my response was like, okay, well, if that's so valuable, why don't you create it yourselves? Like, well, we'll give you the platform. We've got 1 million Finimizers that you can reach out to. We'll give you the tools you need to organize these conversations and events, but you go and make that happen. And that's that, you know, the special thing about Finimizers is that empowerment that we have of our members. And that's the way that we treat our staff. And it just runs through everything that we do.
And tell me, I mean, you know, just to maybe ask some of the questions that people out there are thinking about, but what is, outside of getting the know-how, outside of getting interaction with different members inside your ecosystem, what else does the member get out of organizing events or being part of that community and actually really driving towards what they want to get?
Yeah, we get asked this a lot, like, why be a host? You know, why would I do that? Why would I volunteer my time to help other people? And there's the obvious thing of the intrinsic motivation around, you know, So a lot of our hosts are experienced. They work in the finance industry. They have a good network in the world of investment. They also understand that how crazy it is that they've been through that process of understanding all of the jargon, all of the charts, having the five screens of Bloomberg terminals, and they go and sit with their friends in a pub, and it just seems unnecessarily complex and impenetrable. So there's a real intrinsic motivation that they want to change how that is done, because you don't have to go into that level of complexity just to talk about investing in the stock market. The second thing is, it's very difficult. If you're someone that is ambitious and is looking to, you know, build your sort of professional status, it's very difficult to get an audience the size of ours. It's very difficult to access a million people on a platform for you to go and, I guess, reach out to and support and speak in front of. And then the third thing is, with that size of that audience, it becomes a really nice feedback loop. So you've got people that are going to attend the events that you're organizing and running, which is motivating in itself. The third thing is that you're going to be able to access a network of speakers and professionals that you would never be able to access before, because they're speaking to the largest retail investor community in the world now. It's a really nice reinforcing piece. What we normally see, just without any intention at all, is the people who become Finimize community hosts end up getting promoted at work, starting their own startups, launching their own podcasts, like just buying into this empowerment piece of like, why am I sat here at my desk every single day just doing it as I'm told? Like, look at what I can achieve. And they're connected with a group of other people. And we put a lot of training, like we put a lot of investment into training, and, you know, they get access to public speaking coaches and all these different things. So it's a really amazing thing, but we don't pay the speakers, we don't pay the hosts, for a very good reason. And that is because intrinsically motivated people contribute to a mission far more than extrinsically motivated.
I like it. And that's the whole thing about community. You can go back years and years and years and decades and decades and decades. It's all about the giving rather than actually the receiving and taking, right? And that's why, you know, these folk are really, you know, inspiring others to do that.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
For the founders out there that are listening, and maybe thinking about this, maybe not. Maybe it's the first time they're thinking about it. Maybe the penny's starting to drop. But to sort of bring it to life and bring it home for them, why do you think every founder should be thinking about building a community that leads growth alongside their offerings, alongside their product and/or service offerings? And I know we've spoken a lot of different things about this right now, but what are the maybe two or three things that you think actually, you know, this is why a founder should be considering this?
Yeah, I love that. I get asked this question a lot by founders. I love this question. The first thing, like, to understand is, let's say you're an early stage founder. Resource is like the one thing that you don't have. You can start a business as a community, just as a community, with a WhatsApp group and a landing page. Yeah. There is no code required. You can target your first customers, and you can really, really get to understand that group of people better than anyone and build that community. So from a resource perspective, it's great. But from a business value perspective, as a founder, especially if you're sort of pre-scale-up phase, your job is to understand that customer better than anyone else in the world. Community allows you to do that, because you're not just surveying. You're not just getting research and hearing back what you want to hear. What you're doing is you're observing organic conversations. You're just a witness on the wall, and you start to see and understand those people and your core customer better than any of your competitors. The second thing is, if you're in fintech, community really is a superpower for financial literacy, knowledge, and understanding. And the biggest challenge that you have as a fintech, especially if you're in the investment space, is that how do you drive engagement without it just being about the transaction, without it just being about buying a stock? Community gives you an amazing way to do that. Drive engagement, drive long-term engagement, because the more people have knowledge and the more likely they are to use your product. But it isn't based around the trading. And then the final thing that I would say to every fintech founder, again, going back to my sort of experience working in wealth management, the one thing that builds trust, especially with money, is face-to-face relationships. You know, that could be virtual, it could be in person. But those relationships, ask any wealth manager what they spend their time doing. It's those building those relationships through human connection. What community does, it gives you an opportunity to scale that, to build that relationship piece, which ultimately is trust, and to scale that infinitely. So every new person that signs up isn't just hearing from you as a brand that you should trust us. They're hearing from a third party that has no vested interest in your business, that they can trust this. And that's huge for every single fintech. And then I would add the final thing to sort of think about is this growing trend of community ownership. So a lot of people are crowdfunding. A lot of public companies are thinking about this as well, with more retail investor participation. As that trend grows and your customers become your shareholders, you better have someone that knows how to build a community strategy to manage those people. Not just because it can help your valuation and stock price, but those are the people that you're going to use, or you're going to pull stories from to tell that authentic narrative, not just to your investors, not just to your future customers, but your entire business. The most authentic way you can tell that story is through real community members that love your product and are invested in your company. So for me, no-brainer, every company should be launching as a community-led business. But for founders, there's a lot of business value that you can extract at a pretty cost-efficient level.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I'm going to add to that, because I also have a community inside the fintech space. And for the last, in all honesty, 10 years of running my business, it was a bit up and down, right? I was focusing on delivery, focusing on doing stuff with clients, which is all great, right? It's all one-on-one. I call it one-on-one engagement. But then I sort of flipped the scales. I was thinking, there has to be more. There has to be more to do this. We have to somehow get out there and really make a difference and really start impacting the way fintechs are scaled. So I created the Fintech Scaling Show, right? And all of a sudden, just through a podcast that we're on right now, people started getting in touch. So then the next thing was a community. And that community has now been running for the last 2 years. We've got 439 members. And we meet members around the world, right? We meet on a monthly basis. And we go down and we chat about different things when it comes to scaling up your fintech. And around that circle of friends, it's normally 8 or 9 people in every session, people are happy to give ideas and solutions and contacts. They're happy to help everyone, because actually, just to your point early on, if we're in this together, we can make a difference. But if we're doing it by ourselves, it becomes just a little bit harder. So, I can rattle off a number of different scenarios where in that session, people have got so much value out of it. And I look back at it and I think, oh man, I should have done this 10 years ago. But, that's fine. All I can say is, it's growing right now. And what you're saying is fundamental. It's not your product. It's not your service. It's actually the people inside that ecosystem. They're going to make the difference. And you as a founder, you got to go out there and, you got to engage and continuously engage. Doesn't matter if you're scaling up and you got 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 people. You got to go out there and dip your toes in. Have those round tables, have those think tanks, have those events, right?
Because it's fundamental. I bet it gives you energy as well, right?
I love it. It's awesome. I mean, next week I should have dropped you an invite. I apologize. I'm giving you an invite right now. Yeah. Sorry about that. We're hosting our first live one in London. We got, eight folk coming to London Waterloo. We got a video crew coming out, and we're going to have a bit of fun. Obviously have a serious conversation, but all of a sudden we got people coming in, and we actually got one person from Africa as well, which is quite nice. But this is the heart of the business, right? And you got to take time, make a lot of effort and see exactly what problems are out there. And once you see, you can come up with solutions. I'll come up with solutions. I'll, give people different directions, put them in contact. And it's not always about, in this instance, maybe scale of consulting, winning business. Actually, it's not about that at all. It's about helping people, just 1%. And, you know, that's fine if it's a connection or if it's an idea, that's fine. And it's also fine if it means coming in and working with me on a more regular basis. But it's that 1% that helps, right?
Yes. I mean, it's great to hear. I think the challenge or often the pushback against community is that people understand that there's intangible value to having a community.
Yeah.
But the challenge for a community leader is, okay, how do you turn that into tangible value? It's very difficult to do that quickly. So if you have an experienced community leader who can say, look, this is going to pay off in 12 months, a year, 2 years. And in the meantime, we'll use the intangible values like the narratives and the user insight to drive our product roadmap and our fundraising pitches and our social and all these different things. So that intangible value, if you get that right, the tangible value that starts coming 2-3 years down the line has a moat around it that other people can't touch. So just for example, we launched a subscription business, so our premium subscription, and we were building community. A long time before that. And when we launched our premium subscription, we also started building community. That's now paying off. The one thing that drives a subscription business is your retention. The retention for people who engage in the Finimize community is 2 times better than the people that don't. So we're driving the most important number forward for the company as a business. That's tangible value. The leads that we get from our community are worth a lot more because they're warm leads to our sales team.
Exactly.
Our ads convert better when they've come from our understanding of what's trending among our community members, because we've got so many conversations going on. We know what's trending before it hits social media. And even down to our products, like our roadmap is all built with our members in line. So I think if you can have someone help you extract value in that intangible phase in the first year or two, afterwards it starts compounding to a value that helps you outcompete other businesses, other fintech companies.
Yeah, I love it. And it is a long-term game, right? Things don't happen overnight. And that's just in all walks of life. It takes a bit of time to build things up. But listen, as we jump into the next part of the podcast, let's get your, what are the 2 or 3 things that you think are very important for fintech founders out there on their journey to maybe starting a community, or maybe they're mid through that community phase and things aren't going that great for whatever reason? What would you like to advise them on? What are the two or three golden nuggets that you can give them that will help them move forward in the right direction?
I think the fundamental thing, whether you're starting or you have an existing community, is aligning your company mission with your members' mission. Like, what is the goal they're trying to get out of your service? And, what is your mission? How do you align those two things? There's fundamental, because from there, you can create real value. And then the second thing I would say, so give it space. I've seen so many communities killed on day, like within the first few months or the first year, because they've attached growth metrics. Like, community managers and experienced community builders should not be thinking about how fast is my community growing when they're starting out. They should be thinking about the strength of the relationships between the members. And are the members getting real value out of that? And are we creating value together? So that's the second thing. And I think the third thing would be to just go beyond user research, go beyond this community form to become community led. So instead of just surveying, create spaces for your community members to discuss with each other. And you don't even participate. Just see how they interact, because that's where you're going to get the value that you only can get from a community-led business, rather than just being a company that sort of surveys and does user research and focus groups. So you create spaces where people can be themselves and just observe.
No, I absolutely love it. And now we get into the next part of our podcast, which is the flash round. Drum roll. There we go. So what is the flash round? The flash round is some more fun at the end of the podcast. I asked Max 3 questions, sort of yes or no answers, no malice intended, just a bit more fun at the end of the podcast. And then I give him the mic and he asked me 1 question. He said to me today that he's been thinking about this question on his 20-mile jog and 2-hour yoga session on the beach. All jokes aside. But here we go. So, what is the best way to grow your business? Is it through a community? Is it through your product? Or is it through the way you sell and market your business?
Because it's growth, I'm going to go with the third. I love to detach community from growth. So hire head of growth if you want to grow your business. Yeah. Hire head of community if you want to build a community.
Brilliant, brilliant. Is it vital to have thought leaders or influencers, in inverted commas, that will help you build out your community once you start up?
No, not at all.
Brilliant.
Not at all.
No, good answer. Last one. Is it important to have a long-term view or a short-term view of community-led, I don't want to say growth anymore, but community-led movements?
There's a great saying, I think it's about being a founder rather than running a community. I think it might have been Elon Musk that said it. Or he got it.
He's South African, by the way. I just like to say.
Yes. Respect the South African narrative.
Yeah, there we go.
Where he says it's like running a company is like staring into the distance whilst crunching glass. And it's like communities are saying you always have to have this long-term vision that never wavers and everyone understands it. But also you're putting out fires on a daily basis, just trying to, especially as a startup, you're just constantly trying to stay alive. So yeah, it's a cop-out, but the answer is both. Yeah.
Okay, oh, there we go. No worries. Okay, so now I give you the mic, Max, and you can ask me any question.
What's the worst investment that you've ever made?
What's the worst investment I've ever made? I'm going to say a consumer products business I ran for a few years, a number of years ago. So what was that business? What we were doing is we were sourcing consumer products, beer, wine, juice, tea, etc., from the UK, and we are sending it out into mainland China, Ningbo, Shenzhen, etc. And it was a good business. It sort of was moving, but what I realized midway through, actually, not very early on, because otherwise we wouldn't have done it, is the main issue was we became a broker. And when you're a broker, you're always looking for different types of deals. And it's more about quantity rather than quality. And I just realized at that point in time that the time investment, the money investment, and everything else just wasn't the right thing. And it wasn't the right business for me to be in. And, sold out and went into the next venture.
Nice. A lot of people forget that time is an investment.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Really enjoyed today's show. Lots of insights here, folks. So, I urge you to, take some notes and reach out to Max if you want to dive into some more detail, if you've got any questions. And Max, as always, I ask you to give some details of how listeners out there can get in touch with you, either to chat through the show or to chat through Finimize.
Yeah, best thing to do is find me on Twitter. @ Maximilian Roth, DM me.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, we leave that in the show notes, folks. So don't worry about writing it down. And listen, thanks for coming on the show today. Really enjoyed the conversation and looking forward to number 2 million in the community. That'd be awesome, right?
That's the plan. Thanks so much.
Okay, awesome, man.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.